And let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. We were actually here Sunday morning. This is one of those messages that I was really wanting to do this message Sunday night. And Brother Don knows this, you go to prepare a message, it's kind of like cooking a meal. You're putting all the ingredients in there, and then you need to put it in the oven before it's ready to be served. And this one was not quite done yet. So I waited a few days, and Lord willing, it'll be ready to serve tonight. So go to John 16. This is actually the verses. We'll read a few verses that come right after what we did Sunday morning. Start down there in verse 16. And before we read, just remember that right before this, the Lord told his disciples that he was going to leave, but he was not going to leave them all alone. He was going to send them, do you remember? The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. So this is right after that. Look at verse 16. Let's go 16 to 22. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know, therefore, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Can somebody just take away your joy? You don't have to answer out loud. I hope not. If you have Jesus Christ, you should have, what's the second fruit of the Spirit? Love comes first, and then joy. Only way somebody should be able to take away your joy is if they take Jesus Christ away from you. Aren't you sealed until the day of redemption? You can't lose the Lord. All right, so let me set this up for you. Did you notice a phrase, a three-word phrase that showed up a few times there in verses 16 down to 19? Did you see it? A little while. Now, go back and count. How many times in verse 16 do you see a little while? Two times. How about verse 17? How many? Okay, that's 2 plus 2. That's 4 so far. You see it in 18? How many times in 18? Once in 18, that's 5 so far. How about 19? Two more in 19. What's 5 plus 2? You think that's an accident? 7 times in those verses you see a little while. Now let me set this up for you. You folks have seen this before, but this is a good reminder for me. Let's take that wall to the edge of the pulpit is the last 2,000 years, approximately, what we refer to as the church age. So that's the resurrection all the way to right here. And when you get to the edge of the pulpit, the event that we're looking for next is what, folks? The rapture. So on this side of the pulpit, you got everybody who's saved meets Jesus Christ in the air, right? Now, what does the pulpit make up after the rapture? And how long is that tribulation? 7 years. 7 years. That's okay. We'll get there in a second. Now think about this. You go saved people go up on this side. The great tribulation takes place down here. God's attention turns back to Israel during that time. We'll get to that in a second. And then you get to this side of the pulpit and the Lord Jesus Christ comes down and all who are in his army in heaven, which is everybody who's saved, comes back with him. And here we go, Tom, from the edge of the pulpit to the wall. What do you have? There's your 1,000 years of millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So a lot of folks get this mixed up when we talk about the second coming of Christ. We're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about his physical return to this earth. Remember, here, he only comes part of the way down. We meet him in the air, right? On this side, he comes back all the way down physically to set up his millennial reign, correct? So you got this period of time right here, 7 years. And I want to show you here that it sure does seem that that 7 years matches up with the seven times we see a little while. So let's go through this here this evening, and let's see if we can learn a few things here. The first point here, see if we get through all these, we'll try. First point here, I want to talk about Jesus Christ departing. So the first point will be departing. He says, you notice there in verse 16, that you shall not see me, and then you shall see me. You notice that? You shall not see me, and then you shall see me. And then they begin to discuss this about, what's he mean? You shall not see me, and then you shall see me. Well, what did he do after he was on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection? After those 40 days, what happened? He ascended. Go over to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at that real quick. Just a few pages over, Acts chapter 1. And the Lord said, you won't see me, but then you will see me. This passage matches up just right with what we read there in John. Acts chapter 1, look at verse 6. Acts 1, 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, watch the wording, at this time restore again the kingdom to who? Israel. Okay, here's what they're asking him right there. That's a very important verse. They're asking the Lord, hey, is the time now? Or asking him, when is it the time that you will set up your kingdom here on earth? Why would they ask that question? Many, many, many Old Testament passages mention a time where the Lord himself is king on the earth. You see this through the Psalms. You see this through the major prophets, minor prophets. So they're asking him. They know about this. And they're saying, Lord, well, at this time, is it now? You're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Now watch his answer, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Little note on that verse. Folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ was first preached in Jerusalem, wasn't it? Starts there. Eventually, you know where it ended up? Way over here in the United States of America. This is obviously long before the establishment of the United States, but eventually the gospel made it over here, and you can say the gospel is making its way, or you could even say made its way all the way around the globe since that time. A lot of the great movements of the Holy Ghost in recent years have been, guess where? In China, of all places. So the gospel has made its journey around the globe. Okay, so then verse 9, look what happens. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he goes up. So this is what he was referring to when he says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. What was he going to do? Temporarily, he would be gone. But then look at verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. All right, so how did he go up? I believe he went just like it describes. Here he is on the ground, and he goes straight up in the air. How's he coming back? Coming straight down, all the way down to the planet Earth, right? That's a promise of his return. But what's the time period from John that he says it would be before he comes back over here on this side? What's that time period? What did John call it? Or what did Jesus call it in John? A little while. So let's spend some time on this. Let's go to the Old Testament here. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll be in the Old Testament here for a few. Keep your finger in John. We'll be back there. John 16. So when I was a kid, my mother would say, there's two phrases she would use when referring to time. She would say, if I asked her about when something would happen, you know, when are we going to eat? Or when are we going to go to the store? There's two things she would say. The first one was, in a minute. And then the other one was, right here, in a little while. And I figured out, just by experience, that when my mom said, in a minute, it was a whole lot faster than in a little while. I had to wait a while, just like I said, a little while. I had to wait, you know, for a kid, seems like a long time. It's not really, but I had to wait. So it's interesting that that's the case. The Lord says a little while. Well, how long has it been since he said a little while, you shall not see me, and then you shall see me? How long has that been? 2,000 years. Now, see, that seems like a long time to us. It is a long time. Can we be honest? That's a long time to us. But we're not dealing with us. We're dealing with God in the flesh, aren't we? So what seems like a long time to us, really not that long to him. The one that dwells in eternity, right? So go to Psalm 37. Let's look at this a couple of verses on this phrase a little while. I'll look at a couple of them, and then you can look this up on your own. There's more than what I'm showing you. A little while in the Old Testament. 37:9. Now see if this matches up with, remember our visual here, see if these verses match up with this period of time right here, the Great Tribulation. Let's go 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Notice the phrase, a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Folks, who's ruling the earth during this time period right here? Who is it? It's the devil himself as a man. I believe where it says there, the wicked, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Here we are at the end when the Lord comes back and takes him out and he sets up his kingdom. Again, so I think that matches here. A little while being this time period here. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 63. Look at another one here. A little while. This is all under this first point. The parting of Jesus Christ. But not permanent departure. He's coming back. But let's look at some things that got to happen during that time where he's away. Isaiah 63. Go down there to verse 17. Watch our phrase. Watch for it here. As we read, see if you can put some things together with the mention of a little while. 63:17. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear? What's that next word? Return for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thy inheritance. Now, that phrase there, return for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thy inheritance. Can't you see a Jew in the tribulation, praying that very thing? Oh, Lord, return. Why would they be praying that? You know, we think we got it bad right now. We don't really have anything compared to this time period as far as hard times. This is world rule by the devil himself that they are enduring. Now look at verse 18. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. Now, that'll happen during the tribulation. The enemies of Israel will just trample all over that nation. It's the mention there. So how about one more? Go to Haggai, one of your minor prophets. Hosea. Yeah, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then Haggai. So almost to the end of your Old Testament, but not quite. Haggai chapter 2. Short little book here. Haggai chapter 2, look at verse 6. Haggai 2:6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, so verse 6 and then about two-thirds of verse 7. Folks, this time period, a little while, that great tribulation. When you get to where he says, and I will fill this house with glory in verse 8, when can that happen? How's the Lord going to fill His house with glory? How can that happen? He's going to have to be here for that, right? So again, verse 6 and then part of verse 7, this time period right here. The Lord's shaking the earth. It says, the desire of all nations shall come. It's going to be a terrible time for all the nations of the earth. And then He'll come back. And there it is. I'll fill this house with glory, with His glory. He's got to be here physically for that to happen. Everybody follow me on that? Okay. How about a New Testament one on a little while here? Go to Hebrews 10. I said I wasn't going to cover all these, but we're going to do it anyway. Hebrews 10. Go down there to verse 37. Hebrews 10. 37. This matches up real nice with John, what he said over there in John 16. Hebrews 10, 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So are you noticing something? There's a time period that precedes the return of Jesus Christ. You noticing that? And he says it for the first time over there in John. Well, in that chapter, it's actually not the first time he used it. But in John, he says it there in chapter 16 to these Jewish disciples referring to this time that will take place on the earth where, guess who, will be the group of people that will be the most persecuted on planet earth during that time. Guess who, Tom? Well, no. You're talking about tribulation here. No. Who would it be? It's the Jews. It's that nation of Israel. Yes. Here's that time. Remember, rapture. Hey, everybody who saved us out of here. Then this time period right here, this is the time the nation of Israel really bears more than they ever have. The opposition is more so than in Hitler's Holocaust. I mean, multiply that times probably 100 or 1,000, and that's what you got during this time period. Okay? Now, so there's the departing of Jesus Christ. He says what's going to happen. Go back there to John, and let's get something on this. Give you the second point real quick. Second point is here in verse 20. So let's read that. Verse 20 again, back in John 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. But the world, what's the world going to do? Rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So take a part of that verse, second point here, weeping and lamenting. Okay, so the Lord departs. During this tribulation here, the Jews will have a time of great sorrow. It says there, they would weep and lament. So let's talk about this weeping and lamenting. Real quick, go back to Jeremiah 30. Just take you to one place on this point. Actually, we'll take two places here back to back. Jeremiah 30. And I want to show you this verse because it pinpoints the group of people, like I mentioned, the Jews, that will really bear the brunt of opposition in the tribulation. Now, by the way, it's not like Gentiles in the tribulation can't get saved. They can. But who is a Gentile going to have to align with in order to get saved? Okay, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And they're going to need to side with the Jews. If you read about the judgment of nations over there in Matthew 24, over there, 24, 25, you find that those nations that align with Israel are rewarded at the end of the tribulation. And the ones that don't align with Israel are severely judged. So go to Jeremiah 30 and watch the wording here. Go to verse 7. Actually, back up to verse 6 because we need to see how this matches up with something in John. 30 verse 6. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Now, doesn't that sound weird? A man travail with child? Keep reading here. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins? What's that next word? As a woman in travail. And all faces are turned into paleness. Now, you saw that in John, a mention of a woman in travail, a woman about to give birth. You see it right here, too. Look at verse 7. Let's make sure we pinpoint what group of people is being referred to. Verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of, what is it? Jacob's trouble. Who's Jacob in your Old Testament? Did he get a name change? Name changed to Israel. 12 tribes of Israel are the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob's trouble, in the last part of verse 7, but he shall be saved out of it. So that's a great place to take folks that think that Christians are going to go through the tribulation. Who's troubled in the tribulation, folks. It's the Jews. It's that nation of Israel. You remember, the last 2,000 years, God's not dealing with that nation. God's dealing with individuals and with individuals to get saved, right? He's going to turn His face back to that nation during this time period. But folks, you know this. I know this. You know this. When do you get serious about turning to God? When times are tough. When is that nation, or at least a remnant of that nation, going to turn to the Lord? When it gets real, real tough. I mean, we've seen this recently in our own lives, haven't we? Your prayer life got serious over the last 2 months. Probably wasn't as serious before that. I mean, if it was, praise God. But I know mine's gotten a lot more serious the last couple months. People turn to God when times are tough. That nation, that time period, dealing with them and trying to get them to return, they do so, but not until it gets really rough on them. Okay? Go back, go to the next book of your Bible, Lamentations. You've got to hustle here. Go to Lamentations chapter 1. Now think about this. Over there in John, he said, you will weep and lament. Lament. He got a book called Lamentations, lamenting, which means expressing grief or sorrow. That's what lament means, to express grief or sorrow. This book is about Jeremiah lamenting over Jerusalem after it's been destroyed. All right, this is whenever Judah was judged for their sin against God as a nation, and this is right after that. Go to verse 8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts, she remembered not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully, she had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Now, what you got going on here, this is Jeremiah lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem way back in 586 B.C., somewhere around there. What's going to happen is it will be repeated again. Do you want to guess the time period? When Jerusalem will be trodden down once again by Gentiles? Do you want to guess the time period? During that tribulation, that great tribulation which is ahead, all right? Verse 10, the adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she has seen the heathen in and into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. Again, verse 11, double application in the past and in the future. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, I am become vile. So you see the condition of Israel right here after they were judged, back in 586 B.C.? That same thing will happen during this time period here, the Great Tribulation. It's going to take a time of suffering for them to say, O Lord, deliver us, help us. And He will show up after, what's this time called? A little while. Or this, we're referring to this as the Tribulation, the Great Tribulation. So, He comes back. Now, go back to John here, and let's see if we can kind of wrap some things up here. Go back to John, and I'll take you to one more place in the New Testament. John 16. So we got the weeping and lamenting. Now, real quick note here. If we had time, we'd go to Revelation 11. It said that you will sorrow while the world does what? Rejoices. Jesus tells them, you guys will be sorrowful, the world will rejoice. Interesting place to connect this. Revelation 11. Is the appearance of the two witnesses. You remember that? They show up and they preach for 42 months, which would be half of this time period, 3.5 years. And the world hates them. So much so that the world kills them. Read all about this in Revelation 11. Guess what the world does once they kill them? You remember? They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. They're giving gifts one to another. Because these two witnesses have been put to death. And then it says they lay in the street. I want to say it's either 3 days or 3.5 days. And then guess what happens? They leave them there in the street. Whole world's rejoicing. Then guess what happens? And then guess what happens after that? They ascend up into heaven. A little rapture there of two men. Very interesting. Read about that, Revelation 11. Hey, if you're a part of the believing remnant during the tribulation, are you going to sorrow even more so when these two guys that are on your side are put to death? Okay, but the world, what are they doing? They're rejoicing. Now you see what's going on in our world right now. You can see, You could see this happening before all this craziness took place, but now can you see it even more so happening with the opposition? All right, and if you're not noticing, even Christians, as I mentioned earlier, sorry to disappoint you if you didn't know this, but we're not the majority. We're a really small minority, and that's okay. I'll take it. Because I'd rather be on the side of right and the truth. Not according to the United States government, but according to the Lord and His word. Okay? All right, last thing here in John 16. Notice there in 21 it says, we saw this over in the Old Testament, a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Okay, ladies here that have given birth, and you can help me out here. Sorrowful time, Miss Cookie? Yes. But I bet you'd say it was worth it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no kidding. That's exactly right. It's obviously not a pleasant time until it's over with, right? And then look what you got on the other side of that. You go through that pain and suffering, and then what comes in? Joy. You know why there's joy? There's new life. All right? And to happen for there to be new life, you had to go through that travail. All right, almost tribulation there, suffering, but then it's fine on the other side. So you know what you got right here? You got that nation going through travail for that time period. But what's at the end of that thing? Joy. I'll take you over here real quick. Let's see if we can wrap up here. Go to Isaiah 66, and let's see what's going to happen. You know, Tom, I'm so glad he brings up to pray for Israel. Because here's what's going to happen. We got this time period that's going to be terrible for them. It's going to get better for them. But wouldn't it be better, Tom, if they got war, all that, and got out at the rapture? All right. Well, there's going to be at least a remnant of them during the tribulation that are going to be saved as a result of enduring this time. Go to Isaiah 66. Look at the connections here. Verse 7. Before travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Now watch this. Watch the wording. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in how long? In one day? Or shall, now watch this. Or shall a, what's that next word? A nation be what? Born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Folks, do you see what's happening there? Verse 7, you got the woman. Then she delivers. What's this whole thing a picture of? Verse 8 tells you. This whole thing about childbirth, going through the travail and delivering. What's this picture? Israel during the tribulation. But at the end, what happens? Did you notice the wording? A nation is born at once. You mean born again? Weren't they a great nation at one time in the past? King David, King Solomon, I mean, great nation known all throughout the world. Then they rebelled against God, got kicked out of the land. Folks, they're getting it back. And that nation will be born right here, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Isn't that something right there? The Lord in John 16 laid things out for 2,000 years, actually beyond, in just a few verses there. And he told them a little while, seven times here. I think that matches perfectly this time period, that tribulation. It'll get better for them at the end, won't it? I was looking at the verse this morning. I didn't write it down. I think it's Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And then it says, I'm not going to get this exactly right, but it says, better is the patient in spirit than the spirit. You know what those Israelites are going to have to do during this time? They have to wait. They have to be patient. You know what we're doing right now? Here we are on this side. You know what you ought to be doing right now? Waiting. How are you waiting? Very impatiently, aren't you? Wait. The Lord will show up, okay, at the right. But folks, you see how God gives us insight into all these things in the future. There are just a few verses there. So look some more at that. I didn't even chase all the verses there on the travailing woman. That's all through your Old Testament, referring to Israel going through a real tough time, but it gets better at the end. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us some truth here tonight. I know this is a lot to digest, and I pray that we would chew on these things, put them all together in our hearts, and have understanding of what you're doing now and in the future. Lord, we just want to pray again for folks that would normally be here but are not because of sickness and just some health difficulties, particularly our pastor, Miss Marge, and we just want to ask for you to just really work on them and bring them back to us here very soon, Tony and Vic as well. We just ask for your blessing on the remainder of this evening, this day, and Lord, we ask for guidance and wisdom and protection in the days ahead. We need you desperately, and we ask that you to help us through this time that we're in.